the one that attracted me most was Roche, because A, the labs were, in those days, this was in 52, were fairly modern. They were only built in 38, and they're designed by the German, the chap who designed a lot of labs in Roche-Bahr. So having been for interviews in one or two places and having had one with ICI, and at the time they didn't have a pharmaceutical division, it was all part of Diestuffs, and I decided to apply to Roche, although they hadn't advertised a job, because they'd just published a whole lot of papers on, I think it was pethidine, but it was certainly some analgesics. Anyway, they did some work on the synthesis of pethidine, which was discovered just before the war in Germany. And I, so I just wrote to them out of the blue, and they invited me for a first interview with the then research director, who'd just taken over, Dr. Morrison, from Professor Bergel, who was the original research director, who'd gone back to the Medical Research Council, I think, at the time, though I met him afterwards several times. So I came here and had an interview with him. It wasn't a deep interview. In fact, the only question that he really asked me was, did I play golf? Which he was an enthusiast of golf over. I said I regretted I played many games, but I didn't play golf. I could play them at squash or tennis or football or fives, but not at golf. Anyway, I had a second interview a few months later, I suppose, when I met various other people there, including the assistant research director, Dr. Cohen, Alan Cohen, who lived, they both live locally, of course, and I met one or two other members of staff there. They said, OK, yes, come join us. When can you start? So I said, well, I'm still doing my work. And unfortunately, at that time, my wife was not well and we were married then, living in North Oxford, but she was back with her farmer, with her mother up in Doncaster. And so I did all the experimental work, but very little of the actual writing up of the thesis. Anyway, I started work at Roche on the 1st of September 1952. I was in the digs for a little while, but we were offered this existing, the old part of the house, by the Development Corporation November. And so we moved in as tenants of the Development Corporation.
As did many other people.
And we've lived here ever since, but we bought it and extended it and brought five children up in it. And anyway, so I started work then, and the rather interesting thing I discovered was that in connection with writing that article, I'd made some notes of my own years ago now as to what it was like when I first joined, and I only discovered this quite by chance.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
I thought it gives me a more accurate time scale, because that tends to disappear over all the years, because it was, after all, a very long time ago, 60 years ago or more, that I was started work there. At the time, the research department, and most research places that I looked at were all quite small. There was nothing large on the sort of scale you get these days. And there were two chemistry labs. If you look at the... you haven't got... it's in the building... that runs parallel to Broadwater Road and at right angles to the one with the spiral staircase.
Oh, yes.
That building is number one, and then the ground floor was building, a bit beyond that was building two, which was sort of dispatch. And then at that time, there were the top two floors of building three were chemistry labs. There were just chemistry labs in that building, and they were quite small. There were two teams. Dr. Morrison, who was the director of research, had an office on the second floor, and there were three chemists, three PhD people working there. They were actually still working for their PhDs, one from London and one from Cambridge. I don't know where the other one's from. And another chap who was Dr. Morrison's assistant, who was just a graduate, but he was beginning to work for a PhD as well. And then on the other floor was Dr. Morrison, Dr. Cohen, the deputy director, and there were two of us on that to begin with. There was Dr. Heath Brown, who was had been with them for several years, and I joined because somebody had actually left the research about the same time that I wrote in out of the blue. See, so it was saved them bothering to find anybody who wanted to come.
Indeed.
And there was the assistant director had an assistant chemist working for him, and that was the chemistry. We each had two assistants, technicians working with us.
Right.
And that's how it was. There was a small pharmacology department, which was over looking from Broadwater Road in the far right-hand corner, almost next to the film studios.
Right.
Because we were, of course, right next to where the film studios were in those days, and there was still a little bit going on, I think. And they just had a wooden hut there, and they had just guinea pigs and mice and rats to work with. And there was one pharmacologist with an assistant of one or two technicians, and they bred their own guinea pigs and rats and mice. It was a rather a primitive setup.
Yes.
But the thing that struck me about Roche quite early on was that it had a feeling of a family.
Mm.
It was small. I mean, there were only less... I shouldn't think there were more than 100, 150 people. I'm not sure of the figures on the site. The works manager, Alan Emlyn, who later on became the company secretary, he was in charge of the production. There were two production units on the site, one for vitamin A and one for vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Very small-scale stuff, but it was the buildings that you can probably still see from the road. I don't know that they've been knocked down yet. I'm not sure.
You may be right.
Yeah.
It's such a bit of a mess.
There were these two buildings, and about that time a new building was being set up for process research, which was examining the way of developing the laboratory scale into the production scale. Mm. And that was run by Dr. Hindley, who had been a member of research and had been and spent quite a while in Switzerland subsequently, and then came back to set up this process research department. When I first joined, I was actually still writing my thesis, and it took me the best part of a year, partly because my wife was still not well, even when we first moved in here, but also because Dr. Baltrop, my supervisor, had taken a year's sabbatical in California, which meant that as I wrote my thesis, I had to send him a dozen pages at a time for him to look at and comment on and send them back to me. And that took quite a long time.
By surface mail or
I sent them all by airmail, but there was airmail then. But it was a slow process, and I didn't actually complete my synthesis, my thesis, until the end of 1953. Yes, it took me a year, basically, to finish the thesis and get it presented. And I had my viva early in 54, which I passed, and actually collected degrees in 54. My wife, who was at Somerville, but during the war, although I met her at university, but that's another story, nothing to do with this. She took her MA and I took my BSc, my MA and my DPhil all at once. I went round the Sheldonian Theatre three times in different garbs. It was quite amusing, actually.
Oh, for a film.
The photographer had a field day, I think. And, anyway, the work that was going on when I joined department, when we had none at all here, before we had a physical methods department. So we've had close contacts with Cambridge and some contacts with Oxford as well. We've had consultants in the way of their professors been consultants over the years while we still had research facilities here. The secretary, she was a little lady, and she had been secretary to the managing director when they were up in London before Roche Wellin started.
Mm.
And she was a very sort of motherly sort of little lady.
Yes.
It was alleged that she kept a lot of knitting in her filing cabinet, but I don't think that was necessarily true. But every Christmas while she and Mr. Pavitt were still there, we had a lot of... Are you all right for time?
No.
We had a lot of other managing directors after Mr. Pavitt, who I couldn't list them all, I'm afraid. Bill Gerard was one whom I did know quite well. He was a more recent one. But every Christmas, we weren't allowed to finish until they had ceremoniously visited everybody in Roche Wellin, and they came round and they came through the labs and wished us all a happy Christmas, and that's when we knew if we were getting a Christmas bonus and what it was going to be.
Right.
And it was all done very personally.
Mm.
And that continued until